Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are tuning in by Internet, you can call in. We're an interactive Bible study. What is that? That means that you have an opportunity to call in and participate to be a part of this broadcast. You can call in and participate, ask questions, share with each other, and you know, we just have a wonderful time enjoying the word of the Lord. As we move forward, I didn't even give you the call-in number. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you will be able to join in. I don't know about you there, but we've been snowed in all day. Schools have been closed, and so we've had a ton of snow here. Actually, I have not been out all day because of the snow. So I don't know what's happening there. If you're in the sunshine, we envy that. Those of us here, we do envy that. But nevertheless, this is the season, and God is in control. So we just thank God for whatever we have, snow, rain, sunshine, whatever it is, we just thank God for it. As we move forward, we are going to have prayer. We have those few that are on our prayer list. We're going to have prayer, then we're going to move on into the Word of God. Father, we come before you to thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, because this has been a blessing just to be able to look at one another. So we just honor you, Heavenly Father, praying not for ourselves, Heavenly Father, but we pray for others. Lord, Father, there are those on our prayer list who are seeking prayer. Billy Dickerson, Tanette Dickerson, James Hobbs, Diane Hobbs, Tony Hines, Trinky Holloway, Stuart Hawthorne, Luke Owens Jr., and if there's anyone else on the line that has someone that they would like to submit in prayer, if you would just share it, and we will add them in our prayer as well. Lord, Father, there are so many that stand in the need of prayer, and we know that you are a God of all gods. You're the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. And so, therefore, Father, we honor you by submitting our prayers to you, asking that whatever they are in need of at this time, Father, we pray that you would minister to their bodies, to their minds, to their spirits, Lord, Father, and everything is aligned with you. Lord, we don't know what the situations are, but we know that you do. And then we're asking, Heavenly Father, that you would just minister. We're asking for healing, Father. And Lord, Father, once that healing takes place, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that it was you. Father, you've done it before, and we know that you can do it again. And that's why we take time to ask for prayer. Lord, Father, we pray for all of those who are online. We pray for their households. Father, we ask that you would bless this ministry as we move forward, that it would be a blessing to others, Heavenly Father, not just something to do for form or fashion, but it would be a ministry that it will be a blessing to those, Father. Lord, Father, we pray that you would just use all the men and women of God, Heavenly Father, use them as vessels, Heavenly Father, that wherever they go, Heavenly Father, then they would be a blessing to those that they come in contact with. If there's a time that we need you, Father, we stand in need of prayer now. You said, Father, that we have not because we ask not. So we stand corporately together asking for prayer. And if there are those that we missed out on, Father, Lord, we just ask that you would just do the same to them. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, as we move on, we're coming from the book of Mark. The Lord has just led us to the book of Mark for this hour, and so we're going to do that. And in the book of Mark, we are coming from Mark 1:29 through 39, and as we move forward, the Word of God says that, and coming out of the synagogue, they entered forthwith into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John, and Simon's wife's mother lay ill of a fever. And immediately they tell him of her. And he came and, taking her by the hand, lifted her. And straightway the fever left her, and she waited on him. And in the evening, when the sun was set, they brought him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were ill of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to say that they knew him. And in the morning, rising a great while before the day, he went out and departed into the desert place and prayed there. And Simon and they were with him followed after him. And after found him, they say to him, All men seek thee. And he said to them, let us go up to the neighboring towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore I come. And he preached in the synagogues throughout all of Galilee and cast out devils. Now, going on into the, we just want to break this down, dissect it, and we also solicit your responses as we move forward with these scriptures. Okay, as we interpret that, it says, and coming out of the synagogue, they had entered forthwith into the house of Simeon and Andrew with James and John. And Simeon's wife lay ill with a fever, and immediately they lay hand on her. And Simon's wife's mother lay ill and fever, and immediately they tell him of her. And he came and, taking her by the hand, lifted her up, and straightway the fever left her, and she waited on him. And what I would like to look at as while I was reading this, and James and John, and it says in 30, and Simon's wife's mother lay ill of a fever, and immediately they tell him of her. And I want to look at that in terms of they immediately tell her. Meaning that we can look at this in a number of different ways. Because at this time, Jesus was going around and healing. And sometimes people will follow because of what you're doing and not who you're doing it through. Come labeled as what you do, but not who you are doing it through. So when they told him about the mother that lay ill of a fever, they told him immediately. They didn't wait. They told him immediately. And to me, when I saw that, that told me that they believed in what he was capable of doing, that they believed that he was the Messiah. There were no doubts in their minds of his healing power. And Jesus responded in 31, it says, and he came, taking her by the hand, and lifted her up, and straightway the fever left her, and she waited on him. And if you notice that once she was healed, she chose to become a servant, a follower of Jesus. Now, oftentimes when I'm sure that we all have a testimony, and when Jesus heals us, or he does something for us to help us out of the situation or circumstance that we may be going through, do we choose to automatically follow him? Or do we say thank you and continue our merry way? When I looked at that, that's the first thing I thought about. How often Jesus has blessed us day in and day out, through in and throughout, and we still, although we serve him, but do we surrender totally? Do we surrender totally for what he has done for us? Because when I think about the blessings that come our way, I think that we may choose to thank him for that moment, and then as time passes, we continue to get back to our busyness or whatever we're doing, and we leave less time for him, for Christ. It's almost like someone doing something for you, giving you something, and you're grateful at that moment or for that moment. And then after a period of time, we kind of forget about it. It's not as important or it's not as valuable to us than when the time it occurred. And I guess what I'm saying to you is that when Jesus comes and blesses us and we choose to become servants for him, that we should sell out. Now, if that was true, we should see it happening all over today. Today. And I want to say that this is a spiritual warfare. This is a warfare where Jesus wants us as servants, and the enemy wants us as servants. And as we continue on through this scripture, is going to point out the differences of what was happening and what was taking place during this short miracle. It says that, and the mother lay and Simon's wife, mother lay ill, and immediately they tell him of her, and he came and taking her by the hand, lifted her up, and straightway the fever left her, and she wanted and she waited on him. And in verse 32, and in the evening when the sun was set, they brought to him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. Now, if you see that the people came to Jesus in the evening, and that was after sunset. And when it talks about when they came, the time, Friday, on Saturday, it was forbidden for anyone to be healed on the Sabbath. So the people came to Jesus in the evening after sunset, and that day had been the Sabbath. So their day of resting lasted from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. So the Jewish leaders had proclaimed that it was against the law to be healed on the Sabbath. And that's when we get to the evening. And if you want to look this up, you can look it up even further. It's in Luke 13, and also you can look at Matthew 12:10, and it talks about it even further. And so the people, they didn't want to break this law, this Jewish law, that prohibited them from traveling on the Sabbath. So what they did was they waited until sunset. After the sun went down on Saturday, the crowds were free to find Jesus so he could heal them. They honored the law. So they chose to come to Jesus after the Sabbath. And in verse 34, and also I want to talk about, it says, in the evening, where they had brought to him all that were diseased, and they were ill of diverse diseases. And notice, when it says diverse, that means that there were all types of diseases. It wasn't just one particular disease. Now, the mother, Mark talks in here, and it says, he talks about the mother who had been ill of a fever, but they brought all kinds of ill people to Jesus. And here they use the term diverse diseases. And cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to say that they knew him. So when I say in here, in some Bibles, they may use the term summoned. Suffered or summoned. Summoned the devils to remain silent. And one may ask, why did Jesus summon the devils to silence? And I want to say that, and I'm going to open up the mics, and I want to say that he had them silenced so that he could show that he had all the power. He had all the authority. Jesus proved that his authority and his power was over Satan, over the demons. He wanted the people to believe that he was the Messiah because of what he said and did, not because of the demons' words. Jesus wanted to reveal his identity as the Messiah. Satan wanted people to follow Jesus around. Now see, here's the sign. Satan wanted people to follow Jesus around for what they could get out of him, not because he was the Son of God. The Son of God who could truly set them free from sins, guilt, and power. And as I said earlier, sometimes people follow the crowds because of what they can do, but not who they can do it through. And so as long as you're following someone, you're following that person, and they are considered, they're honored as almost like a God, almost like the Messiah, should I say. And Jesus wanted to make sure that was understood, that he was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. He wanted them to focus on and believe that he was the Messiah. Now, there were believers, and there were those who did not believe. And my question goes out in terms of, when it comes in terms of spiritual testing, when people believe that Jesus is the Messiah, then don't you think that we would be going all out? I call it selling out. What about when we become ill with anything? Do we sell out? Do we truly believe with 100% that Jesus is going to heal us? Or is there doubt? There are some that follow others, and they believe that whoever that person is, they come to they come because of the individual and not because of Jesus Christ. Not because they're coming to meet or to spend time with Jesus Christ, even in churches. They're coming because of who's speaking. And the Word of God says, it says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's believing without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to heal. That God is going, without a shadow of a doubt, not following because of the man or the woman who is speaking the Word of God, but believing truly that what is in them is able to free them. The mic's open. Any comments? Any comments? Okay, as we move on.
Well, I agree what you said. This is very good. About a lot of times people come and they see the person, they see the gifting, they see the healings that God is doing through them. And a lot of times they look at, like you said, the person instead of the giver. You know, they look at they look at the creature, which we are, instead of the creator. And sometimes that can make people go after the wrong thing. And then what happens is they start going after the Elder John because he done healed somebody, Elder Suzanne because she spoke a word of deliverance. Forgetting that, excuse me, it's God that's using them to do these things. Sometimes we get it twisted. And I see why Jesus wanted to silence the demon. Not saying y'all, but silence the demon of that disease. Just like you said, so they would know that all power was his power. Nothing else. And no one or nothing shall get the glory of what he's doing. But this is very good. Excuse me, this is very good because I see where not only was the woman healed immediately when he touched her, you know, virtue went out of him. He touched her and she was healed. I'm all over the place. But excuse me, but what I'm saying is that, going back to what I was originally saying, is that a lot of times people get messed up because they're not looking at God himself. They're looking at the man or the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stay focused on who is the true healer. Not the individual,
amen.
Because the individual is just the oracle or the portal or the person that God uses to bring these healings through.
Amen. Amen. And I want to end on to that is if we notice here. You know, God wasn't. It wasn't here that Mark is not emphasizing one people. People aren't
right.
All people. It wasn't just one.
That's very
culture,
good. Because,
one nationality, but there was healing for all.
Yeah, that's very good. Because there were diverse diseases. Yeah.
Mhm. Amen. Amen. Any more comments? Thank you. Thank you, woman of God.
Mm.
Any more comments? Okay, so as we continue, and again, we were at 34. We have 34. For those of you just tuned in here, we are in the book of Mark 1:29-39. And right now we are at 34, verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
And he healed many that were ill of divers disease and cast out many devils. Divers meaning varies, you know, a variety that varies or with many different diseases. They cast them out of devils and suffered not the devils to say that they knew him. And as we said, we're seeing that the silence was to make sure that people knew that he was, that he wanted people to know that he was the Messiah. He didn't want no confusion. You know, he didn't want no confusion. He didn't want no doubts. He didn't want them to believe that, he didn't want them to focus, because the enemy can trick your mind to make you believe, you know, and if you don't have, and I call it selling out, if you don't sell out for Jesus, then you begin to start to doubt. It's almost like straddling the fence. You know, at one minute you believe and another minute you don't believe, you know, so it's almost like you don't know which side to entertain, which side to fall on, you know, so you stay in the middle, you know, and you might, and that's what the enemy or the devil wants. The devil wants us to believe that we are following, that they were following at that time because they wanted the people to follow because of that he wasn't, the devil did not want them to know that he was the Son of God. He did not want the people to know that he was the Messiah. And so when you truly know that who is the Son of God, then you know that you can be set free, not only from illness, but from sin, period. From sin, period. You know, from guilt, period. You understand? From guilt and whatever power that is over you, you can be set free.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe, when you know truly who it is that you're believing in, and there's no shadow of a doubt that it's a worldly idea, a worldly mindset. We know that without a shadow of doubt that it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that time, that's why Jesus kept the demons silent so that they could focus on him and what he could do and who he was doing it through, that he was the Messiah. So that's what 34, we interpret 34, exegete 34, that's basically what it is saying. And then it goes on to 35, and it says, 35 through 37, and in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out and departed into the desert place and prayed there. And I want to stop there. Sometimes we have to get away from the crowd.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to get away from the crowd and get on our own to spend time with Jesus Christ. Get away. Get away. And so that's what Jesus had to do. He had to get away from the crowd to go and pray. And so that serves as a model to you and myself, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes we have to get away on our own. Make sure that you're spending one-on-one time with Jesus Christ. Oh, it's good to pray for me. But sometimes I need to get by myself, one-on-one. That I call that commune time with Jesus Christ. And submitting what we have to Jesus Christ when no one else is around. And here, that's what Jesus had to do. It says that he healed many that were ill of divers disease and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to say to them, they knew him. And in the morning, rising a great while before day, great while, I mean, he was up early, and they were still asleep. He was up early, and went out and departed into the desert place and prayed there. Now, if you look, and when you begin to start to look at that time, there was no desert there at that time. So how the writer is using here the desert time, this was an empty space, an empty place where he went out to pray.
Mm-hmm.
When it says the desert
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning to you, and I'm speaking to me, that some we have to take one-on-one time with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to hear from us individually.
Mm-hmm.
Individually. One-on-one.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, I'd like to just... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, my sister.
I'd just like to interject. And the reason why Jesus did that, because if you think about it, he's already put out of himself. So getting away from the crowd after he done put out, after he healed many diseases, as he even preached and everything else, he put out of his service. So he had to get back with the Father so he could get back what he's put out, so he could get revived again. So he could be with the Father. Father could talk to him. So he could be prepared again, prepared to go out again. And that's why it's important to us as well. As we go through our day by day, daily activities and meet up with different people and we've ministered or we just have conversation with our families, or what, we have to spend that quiet time.
Amen.
That time with God when it's just you, him and you, where he can
Amen.
Speak to you,
Amen.
You could speak to him, and he can replenish because we put
mm-hmm.
out. We put out of ourselves. And God wants us
mm-hmm.
to be prepared for the next thing. So that's why Jesus did
Amen.
That a lot of times. Because remember, he was God, but remember, he was also man. And he was showing us
Amen.
That this is what you have to do. This is what
Amen.
I do. I have to, even though I'm God, but I am yet in the flesh. I am man.
Amen.
And because I'm giving out, I have to get back with my Father. And
Amen.
I have to speak to him. He has to speak to me. And he has to pour back into me. And that's
Hallelujah.
What God wants us to do.
Hallelujah. And you know what? I even want to add on to that.
Amen.
And I want to add on to that. Jesus' primary mission was not in his growing popularity.
Amen.
Performing miracles. See, and he was rising up to pray to prepare for the work that he had to do. But
that's right.
But Jesus' primary mission was not to be a miracle worker, but his primary mission was to be the Redeemer,
saving souls.
To be
right.
The Redeemer.
That's right.
And see, during that time, the disciples they really didn't understand. They didn't understand. Mm-hmm. They were looking at the popularity. They was looking at how much work had to be done. There are so many people that need to be healed. You shouldn't be taking time to pray. You shouldn't be taking time. There's so much work that needs to be done. We need to get moving. We need to get the work done. And so Jesus, his mission was to be to not as a miracle worker, but to be the Redeemer,
mm-hmm.
the Redeemer. And the disciples at that time, they failed to understand that. They saw the popularity of what Jesus did, and he had to withdraw. He had to get away. He had to get away just so he could prepare himself for the work that needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember that miracles are coming under the reign of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when your miracles continue, the things that you're doing, if you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and if you don't take out time with God, then you are doing it yourself. And so there needs to be an understanding of you. We need to get away and spend that time so that they understand it's not through me. It's not by my might,
mm-hmm.
but by the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the crowds needed to understand that at that time. They had to understand that he needed to be recognized as the Redeemer of all. That one-on-one time, he had to get back with God, because all the power was under God. The same with you and myself, my brothers and my sisters. We got to recognize that all of the power is under God. And if all of the power is under God, then we shouldn't be ever getting off of our knees.
Mm-hmm.
Look at here what 36 says. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And having found him, they say to him, all men seek thee. When it says all men seek thee, not only the disciples that were following, but all those who were ill were seeking him. All were seeking him. Jesus needed that solitude. How would you have responded if you had been the one to find Jesus in prayer? That's not an answer that you have to respond right now at a moment, but just think about that. How would you have responded if you had been the one to find Jesus in prayer? See, it's easy to get caught up in the industry, in the ministry, and sometimes we neglect times of solitude, individual worship, and prayer. Maybe we need to redesign how we go about doing things. Redesign our schedule. Just to find time for prayer. Because I think it is virtually important in our ministry, in your ministry, in my ministry. Seek the Lord before your busy schedule takes over your thoughts. We need to withdraw from noise. From the demands. So that we can spend time and focus on God. Jesus requires an attitude of regular communion with the Father. It's required regular communion with the Father. So that we can reflect on our priorities. So that we can reflect on our mission, so that we can reflect on our purpose that Jesus has for our life.
Mm-hmm.
And here, the same is with Jesus. He had to get away so he can reflect. If there's a time of crisis, then we need to go in prayer. And it's important for us to do that. It's important. It has to be important for us to get away and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's a crowd there, but sometimes we need to just get away from the crowd so that we can pray.
And that's what the Lord gave me, not cutting you off, months and months ago. He said, Edna, people are in prayer. He was telling me that people are doing a lot of activity. There's a lot of activity going on in my name. And that's a wonderful thing to be productive. But God said there's a lot of activity and no intimacy. You know, they're doing running here and there, but there's no intimacy. God requires us to be intimate with him, not just to know him, but to be intimate with him. And when you're intimate with someone, you're talking with them. I mean, it's an even deeper relationship, intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he wants us to be. You know, he wants us to be productive. Like Elder John said, we're supposed to get up and we're supposed to do. Yes, we're supposed to pray. But after you pray, then you're supposed to get up and do. But he wants us to not to always watch, and I see why he says watch as well as pray, because sometimes we'll get caught up and the devil is so insidious that we'll start believing our own report or what people say about us, or, oh, that one can heal and that one can do this and that one can do that. Mm-mm. When we get that intimacy with God, it keeps us grounded in Him. It keeps us in a place of reverence, in a place of fear, and fear meaning reverence. But that's what He wants us to do. And Jesus is our prime example, because here He is, Jesus in the flesh, and he got away into a solitary place to be with the Father.
Amen.
He said in different scriptures, He says, I say what my Father tells me. I do what my Father does. You know?
Amen.
So He's not acting on His own.
Amen. Amen.
Everything we
Hallelujah.
Do comes from God. Amen.
Amen. And that's what is the most important thing to understand for people to recognize, that everything that is done comes from God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We don't get caught up in the person in Christ.
Yes, that's
we
right.
In Christ, where it's coming from, not who's doing it, but where it's coming from. And that's why I mentioned oftentimes we get caught up, you know, we lose sight, you know, and we focus on the man or the woman and not Christ. We come to church because of who's preaching.
Yes.
Because of the man or woman who's preaching and not coming.
So true.
Because.
It's for the word.
To meet we're coming
That's
to meet
right.
Jesus Christ.
So we have to be very careful. We have to be so very careful.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Any more comments? Any more comments? The mic's open.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I like how, and just to go back, I like how after Jesus healed the woman, the fever left, she got up and ministered to them. You know, she got up and she was saying how grateful she was in ministering to. That's just turning around to say, thank you. I was
Amen.
Sick, but thank you.
Amen.
I'm giving back to what you gave to me. Thank you. Thank you for doing this for me. And that's and you said it before. A lot of times the Lord, He blesses so much, and we'll think about it just for that time. And then we go our merry way and we forget.
Amen.
And it's sad, because that's what on the downtime when we're low in the valley, And it seems like all hell is broken loose. Those are the times we need to remember what Jesus has done for us.
Amen. Amen.
And be so grateful, and then we can it'll lift us. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We cannot forget.
Never.
Jesus is concerned about your health. That's the title.
Yes.
Of this topic tonight. Jesus is concerned about your health. He's concerned about my health. He's concerned about your health. And we have to remember that Jesus is concerned, no matter what condition or what situation you're going through. Jesus is concerned about your health. He's concerned about whatever it is that you're going through.
Amen.
Amen. And as we move on, and we realize that, you know, Simon and they, after they found him, they said, all men seek thee. And he said, 38, and he saith unto them, let us go to the neighboring towns, that I may preach there also. And therefore am I come. Here, if we recognize that when Jesus healed, when he healed Simon's wife's mother, which lay ill, when she was healed of her fever, you notice he was there, and that's where the healing took place. And then they brought the neighboring town to be healed. But here, here's when Jesus begins to start taking a turn. And he says, let us go to the neighboring towns. He didn't just say, well, you know what? Even if they were looking in terms of all the people that needed to be healed, now we need to go to some other places. We need to go to some other places. Mm-hmm. And he preached in the synagogues throughout Galilee and cast out devils. And here, the Romans, and here, the Romans were divided, were the divided land of Israel. And it was divided into three separate regions: Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Now, Galilee was the northernmost part of the region, and the area was about 60 miles long and 30 miles wide. Think about that. 60 miles long and 30 miles wide. Keep in mind, they were walking. They didn't have no car. They were walking 60 miles long and 30 miles wide.
Wow.
And Jesus did much of his ministry in this area, an ideal place for him to teach because there were over 250 towns concentrated there with many synagogues. And that's why when you hear it says, let's go to Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world preaching the gospel, I would assume, you know, that others within the Bible took it from here, took it from here. When he says, let's go to the neighboring towns, and the neighboring towns was Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. His ministry, he went to the ministry as one of the synagogue preaching, and when he was preaching, he wasn't just preaching, but he was preaching and he was doing exorcism. What does that mean? He was casting out devils. Casting out devils. Now, I don't know. It could be that the synagogues possibly could reflect a separation of the church and the synagogue in that time. I don't know. But this is what Mark says. That could be in his writing. It may have been a reference to the Galilean synagogues. The text doesn't tell us that. It doesn't tell us that. All it tells us is basically is that he was preaching in the synagogues. So this, I found this scripture to be a blessing to me, to remind me that even though as much as I try to do in my own will, there's so much more that I need to do, but there is a prescription. The prescription is that time needs to be taken out one-on-one with Christ. Or otherwise, the busyness will take over. And when the business takes over, then sometimes there's more time in the business than there is time with spending with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Spending time with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I call
That's
that
right.
Self-care. Self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care. Jesus is concerned about our health. And to be concerned about our health, then we need to spend time with the one who gave us health.
Amen.
One-on-one time with the one who gave us health. And I believe that someone had mentioned before that oftentimes we go out and we get busy, that we become drained, that once we become drained, then we need to go back and we need to take time to get filled.
Amen.
My brother, my sister, if I give you a glass of Kool-Aid, and if you drink that Kool-Aid down till it's empty, there's no more. Until I pull more back into your cup.
Amen.
And that's the same way it is with our bodies. Once our bodies become drained, it becomes empty, then we need to fill it back up. Fill it back up with the Word. Fill it back up. Let that Spirit ignite that Spirit. Fill it back up. I'm talking to those of you who are listening by internet. Fill it back up. Take time out. fill it back up. If you're feeling kind of empty, then maybe it's time to get filled back up, to go back to the one who can fill your cup, the one that who can give you everything that you need to continue your journey.
Amen.
The one who said that I am that I am. I am that I am. And he talks about coming to him so that he can fill our cup, coming to him, bring it to him, bring it to Jesus so that he can fill it back up so that you can go back out renewed with a renewed mind so that you can go back out and won't faint so that you can go back out and continue running the race so that you can go back out. Jesus is concerned about your health. My brother, my sister, please understand that. Please understand that. And maybe we need to go back and redesign how we're doing things. Redesign it so that there's more time spent with the Maker.
Amen.
Any comments? Any comments? Mm-hmm. Mics are open. Any comments? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's taking his grace right down the line.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. That sounds like my father-in-law, Stuart Hawthorne.
What?
Who God has just been raising him up and giving him strength every day, and he has just been a pleasure and a blessing to not only communicate with, but just also to see how God is working in his life.
Well, praise God for hearing his voice. Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I am going to say is, and I'm going to do this. Man, I just love it when God is working. Brother Hawthorne, as we get ready to close out, would you like to say a prayer to close us out this evening?
He said, "Go right ahead."
He said, "Go right ahead."
No, would you like to pray?
Well, sir, you're my guest.
Can I say it again?
You are my guest.
He said, "You're the guest."
You come to my dwelling and praying.
Praise God.
Only say the word, and the job is done.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pray the word, and the job is done.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word that has been out. Father, we pray, Lord, that it is applied to those to the hearers at this time. Father, we pray, Lord, that we not only hear your word, but we would apply it to our lives. And
yes.
Lord, Father, I'm asking for increase, Lord, that you would just take us to another level. And the purpose that you have for us, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing of Stuart Hawthorne this evening.
Yes.
I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those who are by internet who are listening.
Yes.
I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the body of Christ, knowing that we
thank
as
you,
the body have to work together. You are the head, we are the body. And Lord,
yes.
Let everything be aligned with you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Remember, we love you. But God loves you most. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next week. I think we'll be in New York with Minister Herman. I think she'll be on next week. So we look forward to the word. Amen. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
I taste the dawn of each brand new day. Free from all the doubts that grip my past. For I found